back with voices from the front lines.
And I want to say of the brother that he touched me deeply. I never met him before. I didn't know of his past life, but I learned of him. But the man that I met at San Quentin is as far removed from the man that was Stan Tookie Williams, co-founder of the Crips.
Welcome back to KPFK, Voices from the Front Lines, 97.1 in Los Angeles. Oh, sorry, 97.1. 90.7 in Los Angeles, 98.7 in Santa Barbara. It wasn't so great in math, but it's getting all good together. So we're back. We're going to have Adela from Los Angeles on the line. Welcome to Voices from the Front Lines. What's your comment?
Just to listen to all the violence that is going on, and I'm sorry, I'm not really talking about the incident from LAPD in LA because I was at the march, but I wasn't at the particular place that all these events happened. But here in South LA, we are going to have a peace walk to try to decrease the violence and increase the peace. It's May 19th, which is this Saturday, and it's going to be at Fred Roberts Park, and LAPD will be here. Councilwoman Jan Perry's office will also be here, and we're going to walk through the community, so we invite anyone that lives in this area to go ahead and come and join us to start increasing the peace and reduce the violence against all humankind.
And what was the time of that?
It starts at 10 a.m., and we'll be meeting at Fred Roberts Park.
Okay, thank you for your comment. We'll
thank
go
you.
Next to AJ from San Fernando. AJ, welcome to Voices from the Front Lines.
Yeah, hi, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good. Yeah, I wanted to comment on the event that happened on May Day with the rioting that went on at the demonstration or the rally. I guess the rioting, they're calling it, by the police, inflicted by the police on the demonstrators and the ralliers, a lot of the peaceful people. One of your guests commented on the fact that we need to become self-police ourselves and become self-empowered. And I would agree. I think we need to police our own events. You know, if there are people who, wherever they're from, whether they're so-called anarchists or people who are there to cause violence or demonstrate violence, or they're the police themselves or a government, whoever they are, I think we need to, as people running these events, these rallies, these demonstrations, need to take control of that so that, you know, if that happens, say, we can maybe surround them and pay attention, you know, don't let that, affect the event, or we need to prepare for that. We need to patrol ourselves, be careful who we let become involved in the planning of the events. And I would agree, and that would eliminate any excuses that the police may have for coming and attacking families and peaceful demonstrators. And I think we also, one last comment, I think we need to carry this into our communities and all parts of our self-empowered form of governing ourselves here in the U.S. I think we need to become the government in our communities. We need to become the bosses and the management in our business places, et cetera, et cetera. And I think this is the best way to nonviolently change our society by just becoming the powers that be that we'd like to change.
Well, thank you, AJ, for that comment. I mean, you know, I think we would all agree. I think, you know, one of the things that unfortunately we didn't touch in the earlier conversation is there has been, you know, a particular finger pointing toward, you know, a certain sector of the movement, which I think is absolutely wrong. And I think we have to be very clear that the people who did the violence on the people was the police, and that ultimately the police was already in mind of attacking folks. I remember me and Dee were walking. We were just walking on the sidewalk, and they were saying, "Get on the sidewalk." You know, I mean, they were already. This was like maybe in 30 minutes before everything went down. So we just got to be clear that we got to be both clear that, one, that the LAPD attacked the people, and that, second, we have to understand that we don't know who at the end of the day are the real provocateurs, because if we look at the movements from just, you know, the last generation, it was usually the police who was in the front lines of trying to, like, instigate certain things that happen. So I think I think we just have to think about those kind of questions. Why don't we go now to Tiger from Venice?
Yeah, I just got a couple quick comments. I'm involved very much in civil disobedience. And I'll tell you, in Washington, D.C., the capital, I was in MacArthur Park, by the way, but I didn't witness what went on because I was on the other side of the park. But the Capitol Police in Washington, D.C. are very well trained in how to deal with protest, and they are extremely effective and congenial and nice, and they get things done in the right way. So maybe we need to study that. And also, I really think, I know this may seem like a strange comment, but I think our police force here in Los Angeles are using steroids to an extreme amount. If you look at our police compared to most other police forces around the country, our police are very buff and huge and big, and they wear the Oakleys. They're very militaristic, and I think they should go through some drug testing because these steroids can cause you to be very, very, very aggressive.
Well, thank you, Tiger from Venice. I mean, I think it's a pretty interesting thing in this whole dividing line between police and military. And I think, you know, I think another organizer told me, but it was basically saying that, you know, 30% of the troops who came back to the U.S. after being in Iraq have mental health issues. And I think that's one really thing we need to think about, because if we look at also, you know, this whole thing around signing bonuses for LAPD and trying to give, you know, these extra things and lowering the actual standards, when you lower the actual standards, you get people who, I mean, you don't want in there. I mean, I think in general speaking, a lot of the police officers who were in there, I think unless you have some folks who are, one, I think where our guests were talking about, it, the whole system and what they actually protect is under a different paradigm as one. But I think secondly, even within now, to actually have cops that are anti-racist, that are trained on that particular piece of dealing with the public, because not to say that that's going to change because there's still always orders from the top, but I think it's just a really a thing that we really need to address in just terms of how you change the racist kind of systemic structure of the LAPD. And we got Elliot from Ventura, who's been on hold for a while. Elliot, welcome to Voices from the Front Lines.
Thank you for taking my call. I work for the Navy, and I work in a program where people transition out of the Navy, out of the military, into civilian jobs. And in Ventura, on the Navy base here, the LAPD recruit heavily. They recruit heavily. They're looking for people in the military who have military experience, who have that military us and them mindset. And they offer big bonuses, and they are very much wanting these people to come into LAPD. At least twice a month, LAPD, also CHP, recruit and offer huge bonuses and really work very heavily to get people coming out of the military into the ranks of the LAPD or into policing in general. And they bring that certain mindset of following orders, following the hierarchy, and that us and them mentality with them. And I think this is part of the problem of the brutality. And I was not at the event, but I see them on the base, and I see them just signing up and recruiting people. And I think this is part of the militarization of the policing in America. And I just wanted to make that comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Elliot. I mean, I think it's the same thing that's happening in the community. $52,000 starting salary for police, and I just saw the other one the other day, is $73,000 for prison guards. So if we talk about that, it's pretty crazy. So we want to thank you for joining us on Voices from the Front Lines. I want to thank our guests today, John Lum, Kim McGill, Guillermo Suarez, all the listener calls that called in. We have music from Live, Sublime, Soul Catchers, and Sweet Honey and the Rock is on right now. I'd like to thank our producer, Alan Minsky, production assistants, Lisa Adler and Dehan Song, as well as our engineer, Melissa Figueroa. We'll see you next week on Voices of the Frontlines Radio. Up next is Beneath the Surface with Susie Wiseman.
If we want hope to survive in this world today, then every day we've got to pray on. If we want hope to survive in this world today.
want all to survive in this world today, then every day we've got to pray on. If we want all to survive in this world today, then every day.